Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Our Old Testament reading for this festival Christmas Day is found recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, beginning with verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading for this Christmas day is found recorded in the letter to the Hebrews, the first chapter, beginning with verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Christmas Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a familiar verse, not one of our readings for this morning, but you remember it from last night's reading. The Christmas story, according to Luke, near the end, says this: But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. That's our text. My dear friends, Christmas is supposed to make a difference in our lives. But I wonder what difference it made in the lives of those who were present at the very first Christmas. This Christmas day, let's take a look and see. And as we do take a look at that first Christmas, we're going to discover that Christmas makes all the difference in the world for everyone involved. First, let's take a look at Joseph, the forgotten man. Christmas made quite a difference in his life. Here he was, beside making him a father, it made him famous. A simple carpenter from a small town who didn't really appear to have a whole lot going for him. But because he is of Christmas, he's risen from obscurity, popularity the world over. We find that churches and cities and colleges have been named after him. You can be sure that Christmas made quite a difference in Joseph's life. And then, of course, there's Mary, the mother of our Lord. Christmas made an even greater difference in her life. Christmas made her a mother, even though she was a virgin. And that had never happened before and won't happen since either. Christmas made Mary the means through which the two greatest miracles of the universe were performed. The miracle of the incarnation, whereby God became man, and the miracle of the virgin birth, both of them medical impossibilities, which became facts because of the intervention of the Almighty God. And as a result, Mary has also become very famous, and churches, colleges, and cities have been named after her too. In fact, Mary has become so famous that some have even made her equal to God and have worshipped her. And that is something I'm sure which Mary in her humility very much dislikes, and which God finds very much condemning. At the same time, just because some have gone to the other extreme and have started to worship Mary as God, we should not go to the other end of the pole. That is, in forgetting her or ignoring her. Mary, in her humility, in her motherly love, in her treasuring up all these things in her heart, is definitely a person for us to imitate. So Christmas made a huge difference in her life. Next, let's look at the innkeeper. Oh, yes, that questionable man. What difference did Christmas make in his life? Well, don't search too long for an answer, because there wasn't much difference there. He was totally indifferent to the whole thing. As a matter of fact, there were too many other things going on to be concerned about the birth of a baby, even though it might happen right near his front door. The comfort of his well-paying guest was much more important than the birth of a child. Besides, he had more confidence in the power of the shekel than he did in the power of this child. Sad to say, that's the way it is with some people today, isn't it? They're too busy with their business to really enjoy Christmas and what God put into it. They're too wrapped up in themselves and their own material welfare to be concerned about their own spiritual welfare. For all intents and purposes, they are saying to Jesus, no room. Sorry, no room. And there are other people who do enjoy Christmas, you know, the trees and the lights, the friends and the gifts, the food and the drink, but that's about all they get out of it. The heart of Christmas, the real joy of Christmas, that indescribable gift of God in the baby Jesus, they really don't know about or care about, just like the innkeeper. For them, Christmas makes no real difference in their lives at all. It's just a day to celebrate. They know not what. Then look at the angels. What difference did Christmas make in the lives of these angels anyway? Christmas brought them to the full realization of God's love. Oh, they knew about it. They were aware of it. But now they saw it at its height, because they knew what man had done, how you and I had failed God miserably with our sinning. They knew that you and I deserve nothing good at all from the hand of God. And then they see God turn around and showering his love upon us by sending his Son in human form to live among us here on earth, to suffer and die and rise again to atone for our sins. No wonder they sing glory to God in the highest. Now that is the sweetest music heard this side of heaven. So Christmas makes a difference even for the angels. It made them more aware of the height and the depth of the love of God for sinful man, and it brought them joy to the full. And take a look at those humble shepherds. What difference did Christmas make in their lives anyway? Christmas gave them an opportunity, you know, that few people really had ever had here on earth. Seeing Jesus face to face in human form, even though at the time he was a little baby. And Christmas made the shepherds enthusiastic witnesses of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Then they went out of that stable confident they had seen their Savior, the Son of God himself, the promised Messiah. And they became the first Christian missionaries in the history of the world, because we're told that they told everyone they met what they had seen and heard. There's your first missionaries. And now they were sure. They could say it because they were sure heaven was not a dream at all, but a reality. And so Christmas made a difference in their lives too. Most important of all, what difference did Christmas make in the life of Jesus himself? Think about it, my friends. It took him from the role of creator to the role of the created. It took him from being only the Son of God to being both the Son of God and the Son of Man. In other words, he was God and man in the same person at the same time. It took him from the joy and happiness of heaven to the trials and troubles of this sinful earth. In heaven, he'd been worshipped. On earth, he was mocked. In heaven, he had been called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On earth, he was called a traitor and a criminal. To sum it up, in heaven, he was treated like God. Here on earth, he was crucified. And the question we have to ask this Christmas festival day is why? Why did he go through all this? Why did he have to put up with this? I mean, after all, he was still God, wasn't he? Yes, he was and is. Very frankly, he did it out of love. Love for the likes of you and me. He couldn't stand to see us destroying ourselves and sending ourselves to hell because of sin. And so he came to earth on that first Christmas, and some 33 years later, he willingly gave up his life on the cross and took the punishment of hell. That's the way he atoned for our sins. He made up for them. So whenever you see the cradle at this time of the year, in your mind's eye, put behind it a cross. then Christmas will have the real meaning it should have for you. Then it will make a real difference in your life. Well, let's ask the question. We've been talking about the others involved in Christmas. What about you, my friends? What about you? What difference does Christmas make in your life today? You know, it can make all the difference in the world. To explain some of the differences Christmas can make, let me tell you a striking story about a Christmas card that appeared some years ago. This Christmas card, and maybe you received some this Christmas time that have more than one fold to it. Well, this Christmas card had several folds to it, and it told an unusual story. In the first scene, it showed a pastor asleep at his desk on Christmas Eve. He is dreaming of a world where there is no Christmas at all. The next scene shows him walking through his house, but with no Christmas tree, no decorations, no stockings on the fireplace, no decorations or presents of any kind. And he goes outside, planning to go next door to the church, but as he rounds the corner, he discovers that the church is gone. It is no longer there. Later on, he finds out that all of the other Christian churches in town have disappeared as well. So he goes back to his study to read, and as he arrives there, he discovers that all his books about Christ and Christianity, except the Bible, are gone. At that point, there's a knock on his door. He answers it and finds a little 12-year-old girl, a member of his congregation, crying. And in between her sobs, he learns that her mother is dying. She asks him to hurry over to her house. And when he reaches the mother's bedside, he opens his Bible to read some comforting and strengthening words of Scripture. But all the words of comfort and strength are gone. They are not there anymore. There's no gospel there, no forgiveness there, no Savior there. And all that he can do is bow his head and weep with her in sorrow and despair. And 3 days later, he stands at her coffin and conducts the funeral service. But he's unable to give the family any kind of comfort or strength, any assurance or guarantee at all. It is only earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. A long, cold, eternal farewell. He breaks down and weeps bitterly. Suddenly, however, he is awakened from his dream by the sound of the music next door at the church. The choir is rehearsing for the evening service, singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." That, the Christmas card says, is the point for that pastor and for you and me. The Lord has come. Jesus Christ is for real, my friends. Christmas is a fact. Thank God for Christmas. Thank God for that first gift, Jesus Christ. And because of Christmas, you and I can be changed. Changed from sons of perdition to sons of God. Because of Christmas, you and I can live purposeful and meaningful lives already here on earth. Because of Christmas, you and I can find forgiveness for our sins, assurance of salvation, and a guarantee of heaven. That's the difference that Christmas can make in your life. How about it, my friends? Would you like that for Christmas? Is it really making such a difference for you? Or are you stubbornly in your own way refusing to let that wonderful message of Christmas sink down into your heart for fear that you might no longer be able to enjoy some of the things you are presently enjoying in your life? Or are you of the opinion that miracles of Christmas are impossibilities? That Christmas itself is only a legend, beautiful in its meaning, to be sure, but like Santa Claus, only for children? Or are you like the innkeeper, simply too caught up with your lives and indifferent to it all, not caring much one way or another, so wrapped up in yourself and with the material things of life? I hope rather that you are like Mary, treasuring up all these things and pondering them in her heart, thinking about them and trusting them. I hope that you're like the shepherds, bowing down in humility before that Christ child, worshiping him as God and Savior. And then it is that Christmas will have a tremendous difference in your life. You will find meaning in it. You will find real joy in it, the joy that lasts. And you will find that during the other 365 days of the year, you will have something to live on and something to live for. And then you will really have had what I wish for you now, a blessed Christmas, one where you got out of it everything that God put into it. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus for life everlasting with him. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.